Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today. Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 492.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm bringing you a conversation with Michelle Chalfant. Michelle Chalfant is a licensed therapist and coach with a spiritual approach focused in energy work, but grounded in a background in years of experience working with clients. She speaks in this episode about how, in her own journey, she overcame anxiety and self-hatred through self-love. And the model that she created, the adult chair, helps individuals understand their own emotional development. I explained to clients that this book that she wrote, The Adult Chair, which is based in her model and what she teaches in her coaching programs, what she uses with her clients, and what she experienced in her own healing journey. The child chair represents our early emotional experiences and needs. The adolescent chair is where we develop our ego and identity, which she explains in depth. And the adult chair allows for conscious decision-making and emotional regulation, setting boundaries, which is crucial for self-worth and healthy relationships, and communicating directly. She talks about how triggers can be seen as opportunities for growth and self-discovery, how our body holds memories and emotions that can be accessed for healing, and how we can transform our lives even when we have experienced attachment injuries and trauma in our developmental years with the right tools and support. So this is a really fascinating, informative, and I thought fun conversation. So I hope you'll enjoy my conversation with the engaging Michelle Chalfant. I want to also say that as I'm recording this introduction right now, Trauma Therapist Network, the platform, which is a website for learning about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and finding a trauma therapist, as well as a membership community for therapists. And soon we'll host a membership community for Trauma Chat and Therapy Chat listeners. So anyway, Trauma Therapist Network is celebrating its fourth birthday. August 2nd, 2025 is Trauma Therapist Network's fourth birthday. So hope you'll join me in celebrating this and the upcoming 10th birthday of Therapy Chat in mid-August. So keep your eyes open. Watch my socials. If you're on my email list, watch your email to hear about all the ways that we're celebrating these important milestones. And as always, thank you for listening to Therapy Chat. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm so happy to have with me Michelle Chalfant. Michelle, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today.
I'm so excited to be here, Laura. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy too. I'm so glad that the universe brought us together seemingly in a synchronistic way. I'm really eager to speak to you. I found out about you two ways, as I mentioned before we started recording, that a recent guest, Terry Cole, mentioned your name and called you a friend. but I also had heard from your publicist and or publishing company to get you to come on the show just before I heard your name from Terry. And I was like, wait a second. Okay. Some connections happening here. So let's start off by you telling our audience just a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Okay. So I am a licensed therapist and a coach, but also someone that's very spiritual. My whole life, that's just who I have been, and grew up in upstate New York, in Rochester, New York. I'm going to go back in time and bring you up to where we are today. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, perfect.
grew up in Rochester and, had a good family, what I thought, Italian family, Catholic family, and was looking back, someone that was, I was very anxious most of my life. And you and I were just talking about being an empath, like being very open and feeling everything in the room, not understanding. Nobody put that language around that for me. Always really being curious about energy and what that meant. And I could feel it and see it. And I was like, why is nobody talking about this? And I loved helping people. I loved helping people my whole life. Also was very codependent, people pleasing and all that. So realized as I was getting older and going through my therapy degree or my counseling degree, I was anxious. I was functionally depressed. Didn't even know it. I was like, oh, that's what's wrong. That's what's going on with me. Had a lot of negative, heavy, heavy negative thoughts. And it led me to on this journey of really trying to figure out, because my thoughts were so negative and hateful. I thought to myself when I was about 21, I thought, well, the antidote to this must be self-love because I have self-hatred. I really felt like I was damaged goods. Like there's something really inherently wrong with me. So if I could learn how to love myself, then that would be the answer. That would be helpful. So I went on, became a licensed therapist, and along the way, just continued to find incredible books, teachers, and mentors throughout my whole life. And I still have them now to this day. I don't think I'll ever not have mentors and teachers, but started really doing a lot of deeper interpersonal work. And yeah, it was quite a journey for sure, but learned so much over my lifetime. And then about in early, I think it was 2014, anyway, went on to launch a practice and started doing workshops and things of this nature, and then launched the Adult Chair podcast, which was in 2014, which was in December of 2014.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
My podcast was in August 2015. It's not that often that I meet other people who started that long back. So sorry for the interruption, but congratulations on all that time.
And to
it's
you
amazing.
As well. And to you Thank as well. You. And I honestly didn't want to do it. I didn't even know what, back then, who the heck was talking about podcasts,
Same.
Right? I was working with a guy. His name was Pete. He was awesome. And he was doing my website. And he was, reading all the copy on my website. And he said, well, you've got something here. I love this adult chair thing. And I said, yeah, I use it in my practice and it's really fun. And he's like, no, you need a podcast. And I was like, what's a podcast? Probably he started asking me in 2013. Anyway, long story short. So December of 2014, it launched. And my thought was, I'll just use it for my clients. I'm just going to have a resource for clients. Who the hell's going to listen to me? Who's going to listen to me, really? Well, long story short, a lot of people listened to me. In fact, a lot of therapists started using my show as a resource. I cannot tell you over the years how many people have come to me and said, oh, my therapist referred me. I'm like, really? So the first 100 episodes or so were all about, yes, the adult chair model. And number two, it was also about everyday things, which is what I love to talk about, relationships with self and other. So whether it be self-worth, self-esteem, I'm having issues in my relationship with my mother. I'm having issues in relationship with my partner. What am I supposed to do? Boundaries versus confrontation, how you work through anxiety, et cetera, et cetera. I just talked about it and I'd have an occasional guest on. And then over the years, it morphed into having more and more guests. And actually in January of this year, I changed the name of the show to the Michelle Chalfant Show. And in August, I'm going back to, and I kind of went heavier into guests. And now I'm going back to a lot more of just me talking again and actually working with people on air and having a guest probably once a month starting in August. So Yeah. So things very have changed.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
The evolution. I love how you talked about that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. But yeah. So over the course of all these years, of course, I worked on myself. I started really transforming this anxiety, this depression I was feeling, the negative thoughts, and it started working for me very well, probably in my 30s, and continuing on to now. Here we are in 2025. So now the Adult Chair podcast, it went around the world and everyone wanted to have sessions with me. And I was like, I was on a 1-year wait list. I'm like, okay, what do I do? And I started, when I was in my morning meditations, I started hearing, you need to teach other people how to do what you're doing. I heard it for about 2 months. I said, fine, okay, I'm going to create a coaching certification program. So then I created the Adult Chair Coaching Certification Program. So really, I teach people how to see clients the way that I saw clients. Not that I want to clone myself by any means, but the foundational work is the Adult Chair. And then you build whatever you want on top of it. So I do that. I love that. I do a lot of online courses. I do live events. I have the new Adult Chair book that just came out in May. And yes. What else do I do, Laura? I do a lot of things. I think that's it. Live events, online courses, all the things. Oh, I have a membership too. So I do a lot of things. I just love, my mission really is here to help people end suffering. I realize over the years of seeing clients now for 25 years that we suffer unnecessarily. I did. I think about myself when, you know, there was no internet back then. There was no Google. Nobody had a laptop. None of that was happening. So,
yep. No, you know, phone that we could look everything up on.
Yeah, that was not easy. There was no cell phone. Like, none of that was happening. So, but even to this day, I still talk to people and they suffer. I'm like, you need, which is what I needed, the how to. Okay, so I didn't love myself. How do we do that? You know, how do I improve the relationship with my husband, with my mother, with my sister, with my boss? We need the how-to. So that is my mission, is to really give people the how-to transform their life. So that's what the book is about. That's why I've created this coaching program, to get people out into the world, all around the world, that can teach this and help others heal. So that's
wonderful.
That is the condensed version.
Another thing I'm struck by as you're talking about what you do, and I don't do as much as what you do, but I have a membership. I have this podcast that's been almost 10 years. I have a group practice that I run, and, you know, I have my own clients and a website. It's like hearing someone else. Whenever I talk about all the things I do, I always, maybe this is about my adolescent chair or possibly my child chair, but I'm like, oh, I know I'm doing too much. Yes, I'm taking on too much. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And then I hear you. I'm like, okay, she's doing all those things. And, you know, it's normal.
You know what? I'm really good at, and I wasn't. I'm going to be the first to admit, my name is Michelle Chalfant. I am a workaholic.
Yeah. Oh,
I love so much what I do, and I create guided meditations. I even list all the things. And there's a lot going on over here.
That was just some of the things.
That was just a few of the things. But I love what I do. I was more driven by that, what we would call the adolescent. Like, I was just like, go, 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 go. And I'm like, wait, this is out of balance. So my adult chair, my adult slipped in and said, it's out of balance. So I actually now this year, spend more time in presence. I'm more in balance now than I ever have been in my whole life. And I have, here's what's crazy, more going on than I've ever had in my life. I mean, for sure. And I'm the most relaxed. My nervous system is, I'm not going to say perfect by any means, but it is really regulated, more regulated than ever. So it's amazing that the more grounded we are and the more present we are, the more everything out there outside of self actually starts to fall into place and happen quite naturally. I'm putting less effort in, and of course I have to put effort in, you know, I'm putting effort in right now, but I have so much fun and then I can rest. So yeah,
that's awesome. And yeah, I can relate to what you said too. There's like something about, and this is, I guess, what the book leads to, is that ability to show up in your life with more presence.
Yeah.
And really be connected to your true self, which is, I think what we all want, whether we're aware of it or not,
yeah,
you know, it's like there's this calling to find our way back to our true self or reclaim our inner child or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it. It feels so much different to be living in that space when you're, you know, you feel like you understand yourself and why you do what you do, rather than just sort of like this. That's how I used to really feel inside for so long. So one of the things that I want to get into with your book, there's a many things I want to ask you about. So one is, in your book, you kind of, it's like the first half, you talk about the child chair, the adolescent chair, and the adult chair. And then the second half, you talk about the pillars to transforming your life. So it's not that big of a book. I mean, look, it's only like that thick.
I don't even know. So, what is it? 200 pages? 200 and something?
Yeah, it's like not 240? Much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a small book with a big promise. And so one of the things I want to ask you about is, first of all, I guess, will you just explain what we're talking about with the child, adolescent, and adult chairs first?
Yeah, for sure. So the three chairs define or outline, I should say, it's the development of who we are as humans. So we're all born, every human is born, and we go through three main phases in life. So the first phase is what we call the child chair. So during the phase of the child chair, it's ages 0 to 6. And during that phase, we learn all about emotions. And what I mean by that is we not only learn about, here's my sadness, I'm angry, I'm hungry, you know, all of these things that we're feeling and experiencing, we're also learning, is it safe? Is it safe to feel my emotions? Do I get made fun of by my brother? Does my mother know how to handle it if I'm crying? Do I get yelled at, spanked, and told to shut up? Like, what is my experience with my emotions? We're also learning at this phase all about our true needs. So I need a hug. I need to know I'm lovable. When I fall off of my tricycle, I need someone to come and tend to me and tell me I'm going to be okay and put a Band-Aid on me. We have a lot of needs and we're learning. So I want everyone to think about, as you're listening to this, how does it apply to you today? Because the roadmap for which we are living off of today started from ages 0 to 6, which to me is an absolute mind blow. So everything mm-hmm. we experience from 0 to 6, everything we experience gets put on this roadmap that we navigate off of as adults. So we learn about needs. So think about, as an adult, how do you feel about expressing your needs? Are you comfortable expressing your needs? Are you allowed to have needs? Do you feel like you have to keep your mouth shut? You know, these are all the things that we learned way back when, 0 to 6. So we learn about emotions. We learn about needs. We learn about spontaneity. Passion. Do you have passion in your life? No, we got to go do some inner child work, right? Do you have a purpose? You get up out of bed every day with purpose. How do you handle, or how do you feel about vulnerability and intimacy? Because when you're a baby, someone's holding you, coddling you, and you're very comfortable with it then. Or are you not? Was your mother not? Was your father not? Again, what happened 0 to 6? We also learn about creativity and joy and play. Are you someone now at this age, whatever age you are today, that has a hard time with knowing how to have fun? We got to tap into that inner child. That child chair is where we experience all of these things. It is the foundation for who we are for the rest of our lives. Again, because this roadmap then at age 7 gets passed on down the line and says, here, to our adolescent chair, which is the ego that says, you take this. This is how to make our life run. These are all the things that we now believe. So we have all of our thoughts and beliefs that are all on that roadmap. You take it. So around the age of 7 to until the age of 24, we go from pre-adolescence to adolescence to post-adolescence. And we are learning about how do we fit into the world. This is the really strong development of the ego self, the part of us that says, I'm separate from you. I have an identity. You know, my name is Michelle Chalfant. This is who I am. I have this, but you know, all of these things, I, me, me, me. But we also learn how to stay safe in the world because the ego is driven by safety and fear, actually. So this is the part of us that says, when you made fun of that other kid on the playground when you were 10 years old, everybody laughed. So do that again, because people liked that. Now, is that in your highest good to make fun of other people? No, but the ego learns, oh, wait, I feel like I fit in. So the ego is always trying to help us to fit in and feel included in our group, in our tribe, in our community, in our friend group, whatever it might be. That ego is driving us to do that. It's not bad. It's trying to help us to live and survive in the world. So what happens is, so we go through life, we learn, this is where we learn how and how to become codependent, narcissism, controlling, judgmental, perfectionist, doubt, blame. This is where we learn how to live only, again, because it's the ego, really. We only live in the past and the future. The ego does not live in the present moment. So this is also because we're living in past and future, always assessing, wait, what's coming toward me? What's the future hold? I need to make up a story or assumption about what's probably going to come based on what's in the past. And 97% of the time, that thing that we think is coming doesn't happen. 97. I wish I could remember that stat, like where that came from. But I remember reading it. I was like, holy moly. We live in story and assumption. Like we live outside of self trying to figure that thing out. But here's what's key, is that when we're born, we are born as our true self. This pure, beautiful essence of light is what it is. It's like our soul is in a human suit. I call it a garage for the soul, really. But this human suit that we take on, but when we're born, we are this pure essence of light. What happens is we start overlaying. You know, did you ever do an art class when you're growing up? Decoupage, like mm-hmm. you take the little pieces of like the tissue paper and you put it over the egg and it's like you kind of plaster it over self. That's how I think about what happens to us. It's like, okay, the ego is like slapping on all these little pieces of paper on top of who you truly are. And then what happens is we fall under the illusion or into the illusion that that's who we are, that thing, that false self that the ego has constructed. And most people live their lives from that perspective. But like you just said earlier, we're longing for something. We feel inside somewhere there's something else. You know, we know there must be a different way. I don't think I'm supposed to be this unhappy, or I feel out of balance, or wait, I chose this relationship. Something's off. It's a knowing. And then we hit, again, at some point in our life, we want to crack that part of us open. So the adult chair happens. We slide over there around the age of 25. And what happens is if big giant IF, if we had parents that were role models that were living in the moment, living with fact and truth in the moment versus the story and assumption of what may or may not be true. Living with patience and kindness and compassion, living with strength, boundaries, all these things, the ability to witness thought and process, feel, and metabolize emotions. If we had that kind of role model, then we quite naturally slide into what we call the adult chair. The problem is, I've never met anyone in 57 years of my life that has done that. So what I have found is that,
like, who are they?
I'm like, where are
those parents?
People?
Sound amazing.
It's dreamy. So what I find, though, is that we instead get stuck in this adolescent chair. But physically speaking, I keep maturing and growing. So I look like I'm aging. I look like I'm becoming wiser. But it's like, no, I'm actually still navigating from a much younger perspective of self. This is the self, the part of us that says things like, oh, I'm having a bad day. Let me pop a bottle of wine, or let me have some chocolate cake, or let me binge out on Netflix. Think about the logic of that, those ideas. They're coming from when we're in the adolescent chair perspective. It's in the average age of a 13-year-old, emotionally speaking. So think about a little kid. If I said to a little kid, oh, you feel bad. What do you think that we should do? They'd be like, let's go have some ice cream. You know, let's go. It's like an instant numbing. We want to fix it somehow. We're going to people please. We're going to sweep things under the carpet. We just want the pain to go away. We're an adult. I'm able to sit in and feel my emotions. I know how to do that. So again, most people might, and again, we actually swing through the chairs all day, every day. Some of us land more in the adult than others. But our goal is to live from the adult, because when I'm in my adult chair, I'm able to witness what's coming out of my adolescent chair, which are all my thoughts. I witness my thoughts and then choose, because in my adult, I have choices. And I'm able to connect into my child aspect. And I can feel, oh, wow, this is what the emotion is coming through me. And I make the choice to feel it. I'm tuning into my needs and I make the choice. Again, choice is the key word when I'm in my adult. I know I have a choice. I make the choice to speak up for my needs. I'm going to set a boundary here. That's a choice. I'm not happy. I'm going to choose to go find a therapist or a coach to go help me because there's something not quite right. That's our adult making those choices. So part two of the whole entire book. So those are the three chairs. And then part two of this book are the five pillars. When I sat down and wrote the book, I sat and thought to myself, over 20 some years of being a therapist and a coach, what did I teach? Because my whole mission is to give people the how-to. Like, don't tell me to go find self-love. How in the world am I supposed to do that? I don't know how to do that. Don't tell me to go work on a trigger. I don't know how. I need the how. Don't tell me to go. People would say to me, you just need a boundary. I'm like, what? You want me to speak Russian? I don't know how to do that. So part two of this book breaks down,
right? Big time.
Who tells us how to do that? Nobody.
No one. Let me tell you, I have to say this real fast.
Yeah, go.
People would say you need a boundary. And I would say, what is that? And they would say, read Codependent No More. And I literally like opened the book Codependent No More. And I'm like,
no,
I don't know what this is. Like, not that I don't think it's a good book, just like literally like does not compute for me. So it's when you just... A boundary is an invisible thing. So, and then you look it up. Oh, boundary is a separation between me and you. Okay. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah. What does that even mean?
I mean, now I get it, but it can feel like you said, it's like, this is Greek to me.
That's how it felt. I was like, what do you mean set a boundary? What is that?
How do I do that?
And by the way, that is so uncomfortable. I'm not saying that. They're going to be mad at me. You know, I feel guilt saying all of that crap. So
what if they don't like me if I set a boundary?
I love talking about codependency and boundary. I mean, all these things are my favorite subjects, but I love codependency and boundaries. Anyway, a side note. So part two of the book are the five pillars. And the whole book I walk people through, and you know this from reading the book, exercises, a ton of client examples so people can understand exactly what I'm talking about. And then also there are exercises that walk the reader through how to change your life. Cause that was so important to me when I was in my 20s and 30s. I was like, how do you do this? What you're telling me is, like you said, you're telling me to set a boundary, but how? So part one and part two in the book, the whole book is like, okay, so this is how you do it. So part two, the five pillars are, I own my reality. I practice self-compassion. I feel my emotions. I own my triggers and I set healthy boundaries. So again, I was saying over 20 years, those five things, that is what I taught more in my practice more than anything. And those five things help to transform people's lives. And it's not as easy as just saying, oh, work that trigger. No, I've got a whole trigger script in the book that teaches you what the heck a trigger even is and then how to work with it. Boundaries are not scripts. I say this all the time. I'm like, I can give 1,000 people boundary scripts. They still don't know how to set a boundary. There's an energy to setting boundaries. You got to be grounded. Yeah. There's so much more to it. So I explain all that in the book.
Today's episode is sponsored by Psychotherapy Networker and PESI. If you're a therapist, be sure to check out the partner page, which is linked in the show notes, where you can get discounted trainings with previous Therapy Chat guests like Courtney Armstrong, Dr. Leslie Korn, Dr. Ariel Schwartz, Dr. Tammy Nelson, Dr. Janina Fisher, Rebecca Case, Dr. Peter Levine, Dr. Lindsay Gibson, Deb Dana, Lori Gottlieb, and many others. You'll find the link in the show notes to my partner page with PESI and Psychotherapy Networker, where you can find all these discounted training. If you need CEs, this is a great place to go. Therapy Notes is consistently transforming the way therapists manage their practices with continuous updates designed to save money and improve efficiency. Their latest game changer, Therapy Fuel, a powerful and fully integrated suite of AI tools that streamline documentation so you can focus more on your clients. With AI features that help by generating progress notes from summaries or transcriptions, creating contact notes directly from client secure messages, and automated summaries of client history forms, Therapy Notes users are already reporting hours of saved time and energy. Some other recent feature improvements include automated recurring client payments, electronic secondary insurance billing, and their constantly expanding library of outcome measures. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Well, that is really valuable. And maybe we can talk a little bit more about, you know, when you said there's an energy with setting boundaries, because I share this, I'm sure I've shared it here before, but for me, I would have situations that would come up and I would not be able to figure it out myself. So I would take it to therapy and my therapist would say, well, you could just say da 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 da, you know, and he would help me kind of figure out what I wanted to say or what the problem was for me with the situation. But he would say this, and I would be like, that makes sense, but I cannot say that.
Nope.
And it wasn't because I didn't want to. So, but then when you learn how to really, I mean, it's a complex process, but when you really tune into yourself and you feel what the boundary is that you need, and you're grounded and you're in your adult self, you can just, you may say no, blah, 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 or you may not even say no. You know, you might just say, I need blah, 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 or whatever, or I'm going to do such and such. And it doesn't feel like mysterious at all. It's just like,
it's
just like the other person did. They said their thing and they were fine with it. And, you know, it's like, oh, what am I supposed to say back? I mean, it's just like, it's amazing how off center we can get when something like that happens, when someone crosses our boundary.
What I feel like over all these years of working with all these people, the secret weapon in setting boundaries, like what's the magic thing that people need to have in order to set a boundary? Can we talk about that?
Yeah. That's just like, come on, this is it. This is what everyone wants to know. There's a secret weapon.
Turn up the volume. Here we go, everybody. So, so here it is. Because I did exactly what your therapist did with all my clients. I'm like, what in the world is going on? Why are these people coming back every week saying, I couldn't do it? I'm like, okay, wait, what's going on? So this is what I figured out. You cannot set a boundary unless you have self-worth, or AKA self-value. If you don't value yourself, you are not going to be able to set a boundary, period, end of story. Let me give you an example. When you go to the jewelry store, where are the most precious stones and diamonds? Where are they when you go into the store?
In the back.
They're in the back. They are in the back, and they have a lot. They're under lock and key, and they have an alarm system on them with maybe a guard even standing there sometimes, right? It's because they're the most valuable. They're boundaried. They're the most valuable. Think about that. So if internally, if I don't feel valuable, then it's not even going to occur to myself to turn around and go, oh, that hurt. I think I should set a boundary. I'm going to speak up for myself right now. I'm going to instead say, oh, they didn't mean it. It was no big deal. Or, oh, it's fine. They were tired. Or I'm just going to let that go. I'm easygoing. You know, we make some sort of excuse to downplay it. But if I have value, here's what I realized. It was really interesting in my own journey around boundaries, because I didn't have boundaries either when I was younger. As my inner value goes up, it keeps going up, my tolerance for people bumping into my boundaries or bumping into my what I call beliefs, thoughts, values, and morals and beliefs, it goes down. So the more this goes up, it's a natural thing. And I notice now I'll just say to people, stop, that's not okay with me. I'm not raging. I'm not angry. It's not anything more than a statement. And that's what people forget too, is that a boundary is a request or a simple statement that teaches people how we want to be treated. That's it. But it could just be a simple request. Like my friend was talking the other day about some political thing. And I said, you know what? This doesn't feel good to me. Can we please change the subject? Period. And she goes, oh, sorry. I go, you don't have to apologize. I would just like to change the subject, please. My request. I wasn't angry, no rage needed. I was like, because inside it started, I started feeling uncomfortable, not uncomfortable, just the, there's an energy, there's a tightness in my body. And I go, this doesn't feel good. I'm in my adult, just like my husband and I were in Turks and Caicos a couple of weeks ago. We were sailing. It's like, if you ever sailed, you come about, you, the sailboat goes around. It's like, I'm going to make a turn. If you're driving a car, I'm going to make a right turn right here. It's the same thing. Right turn. I don't want to do that anymore. It's when I'm in my adult, I can navigate like that. I can make a right turn if something doesn't feel good without raging. People get so confused about boundaries. They think they're confrontational. They are not confrontational.
Right.
They're not. No.
I think especially for women too, it's, totally. You know, I don't want to be mean. Mm-hmm. It's either I don't want to be mean. I feel bad. I don't want them to get mad at me. It's those things. So, you know, as women, we're really conditioned to be submissive in order to be safe. You know, I think that appeasing, people pleasing behaviors come from partly our conditioning, you know, being a good girl, and also partly from experiences of, you know, people pushing our boundaries and, you know, making us uncomfortable a lot of the time, where we're just, it just becomes so normal that you walk around feeling uncomfortable because, you know, people are commenting on your body all the time, or, you know, coming to you with like sexual energy that you're not interested in, even usually starts in adolescence. So I think that's one of the things that makes it confusing for a girl who's just going along thinking about riding her bike, and you know, somebody's like, hey baby, blah, 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 and it's like, where did that come from? Why is he saying that to me? And then it just becomes, oh, like, this is how, I guess I'm revealing something about my childhood here, because that was the way it really was growing up, just for me and all the girls, that men were like that and boys were like that. So, you know, I think that feeds into why we, you know, as you mentioned, how the ego is keeping us safe,
right?
Trying to keep us safe and operating from fear. When something uncomfortable like that happens and it's so out of bounds, you just don't know what to say or do, except you want to just get away from it or pretend it's not happening.
And
then that becomes the way we interact with people.
Yeah. And you said something, I think, that Terry Cole says too, which I completely agree with. We're raised to be good girls.
Yeah.
Be quiet. Don't be too loud. Basically,
be nice. Share.
Share. Oh, share. No.
Think of others before yourself.
No. And it's not to say that we shouldn't be polite, but where's our power? You know, and we have to be raised by women that are powerful in order to become powerful, to mirror that, to see it within us and mirror that. And I think that who knows what's coming forward? I mean, I don't know. Maybe the parents of today are going to do that. I don't know. But yeah. Or like for me, I was very shy growing up. I needed someone to pull out that power within me and to be brave. I am now. And I kind of tilted in the other direction. So I went heavy masculine, and now I'm working to really activate the divine feminine within. So I'm much more in balance now than I've ever been, but I went from being so shy and quiet and timid to then tilted in the other direction, now back in the middle. But yeah, it has a lot to do with how we're raised, for sure. And the roadmap, there's that roadmap again.
Right. So this is what I was wondering as I was reading, because I feel like your book, and obviously your book is just like a sliver of what you're doing, but your book could be a great guide for people to, you really concretely spell out, like, this is what it feels like. These are the things you might be thinking when you're in the adolescent chair, when you're in the child chair. And you do have, I started listening to it on audiobook, and I heard how you would say, you know, if you want to pause here and go and journal about these questions, and you can come back when, after you've done that. And I was like, wow. I mean, they were great questions, and I mean, when you said what happened from 0 to 6, I thought, oh man,
so many things.
Was there a death in the family? Was there this? And I was like, oh yes, everything. But nevertheless, I mean, I was already pretty aware of that myself, but I think one of the things that's really hard for people when they're trying to change the way they feel as adults and understand what's in play and kind of come out of the idea that it's just me. I'm this weird, messed up person. I'm bad. I'm just not like other people. You don't understand, you know, to go from that mindset to, let me reflect on what my childhood was like. And so often with my clients, they don't remember their childhood at all. Or they say, my parents were perfect. I don't know why I turned out so screwed up. So how do you work with that part of like that, like kind of block of seeing what it was like?
I don't really work in the mind when I'm working with people. I don't know how to say this. I work in the body and in the heart. And I've done transpersonal hypnotherapy training, master training many, many, many years ago. But what I learned, and it was so cool because I brought it back into my practice or wove it straight into my practice. And I realized that the memories that we need to have will be revealed for sure. They literally will come up through us. They're not top down. It's bottom up. It's coming from the heart up. It's the body knows everything. So yeah, you may not consciously remember, but we're mostly dealing with the unconscious mind here. The way I work with clients. So we're tapping in. And I remember working with a girl who was the youngest of 3 or 4 children. And her siblings were, there was a 10-year age gap. And she didn't have any memories of her father. And she was really upset because her father had died when she was, I think, 10. And she didn't have any memories of him. And she was in her 40s or 50s. And she says, I just wish I could have memories because my siblings that were much older will talk about my father and I don't really have memories. I said, let's go get them. And we went back and I took her through a little bit of a trance state and she came out of it sobbing and she goes, oh my God. She goes, I don't have any memories, you know. And then when she came out, she said, oh my God, Christmas Day, I was shown the most beautiful memory. I opened up my gifts. My dad was there. I was sitting on his lap. She told me exactly the wrapping paper that she had opened the gift in, I mean, the whole thing. And she was 8 years old and she was again in her 40s or 50s. So they're in there. And so when I work with people, the way I train people is like, it's always that it's more, again, the adult share that, especially the coaching, the way I do it is more, it's more spiritual. There's an energy. My gosh. I mean, Laura, we can go there when we turn off. I say, turn off your head. Like, I encourage people not to live what I call chin up, go chin down. That's where all the answers are that you're looking for. So yeah, if you don't remember your childhood, I don't care. In fact, when I work with people, I don't want to hear what your head says. You know, I'll say to somebody, okay, and you don't need to know, in all truth, the way I do parts work, I was sharing with you, I've never been trained.
Yeah. I want to get into this.
I've never done IFS training. Internal family systems. I've done my own version of parts work for 25 years. It's more spiritual or energy. I call it energetic parts work. So I do really fun. It's very simple, but it's really fun parts work. So it's all about the body. The body knows. The body will reveal. Your heart will reveal exactly those programs. That's why I say that triggers are a gift. And the parts work that I do is woven right through my trigger work. There's a whole script in the book on how I do this, but under triggers. Triggers are a gift because they help to really, they help us to update that roadmap. You know, the roadmap from 0 to 6, we have to start getting clear and ask ourselves the question when we're triggered. It's one way to work with triggers and update that roadmap, which I think is brilliant because it's free of charge. But when we're triggered, right? I mean, I don't have to pay for anybody to do this. When we're triggered, that's an opportunity to look at the emotion or the belief that's coming up within ourselves. What we humans typically do is I'm out here blaming you for making me feel that way. Well, I wouldn't feel quote unquote that way unless I had that belief about myself. So the way that I do the parts work again is I'm going in and looking at where inside of me is that belief or that what I call program. It's no, we are no different than cell phones, honest to God. Like, we're no different than cell phones, right? We have to update our cell phones every month or so. We as humans need to be updated. So when we take a good look at our beliefs that are rising up, we update them, and we do that through energetic parts work. So again, so if, let's say, Laura, you do something to me, or you say something to me, or you don't invite me to your party or something, and it makes me feel bad, something inside of me, and I'm really angry at you. What most people do then is they will then go call their mother, their sister, their friend, their husband, their whomever, their wife, their girlfriend, whoever it is. And I'm going to talk about you and how mean Laura is for doing that to me, not inviting me to the party and all the things. And the person over here that I'm telling the story to will then validate me. But what's happening is there's a belief within me that is rising up and sitting right here in front of me. And it's an opportunity to look at that belief. And if I don't look at that belief and I call someone else, that belief that's on the silver platter starts to drop back down into my unconscious. It's sitting in the unconscious mind. So the trigger brings it up for me, for me. So what we want to do is look at that and ask ourselves, okay, wait a minute. Okay, hold on. There's something coming up for me. So it's really flipping the language around. Instead of Laura did that to me, it's more of Laura said or did this thing and it brought something up within me. No blame on Laura. It's my stuff. No blame on Michelle either. It's just my thing that rose up. So then I work with it doing parts work. Where do I feel that? How old are you? There are many questions that we ask. And then that part shifts and transforms. It's absolutely miraculous. And it's gone. I was probably the most dysregulated person I knew in my 20s. I was high and low and high and low and high and low. I had someone ask me, a therapist friend of mine, she goes, I think you might be bipolar. And I look back on that. I go, that is the most, not that I have anything against anyone that's bipolar. Please hear me say that. But I wasn't. I was dysregulated emotionally. And I met Debbie Ford way back when in my 20s and started doing a lot of shadow work and created this version of parts work. That changed my life. I learned how to work with those. I am so in balance now. It's insane. People that used to, they go, wow, you're so different. I'm like, yeah, I learned how to work my parts and I learned how to work my triggers. Game changer. Game changer. So, yeah. So when we work with those parts or those triggers, everything changes. And do they stop coming up 100%? Some do. Some come back because there's another aspect of them. It's like, you know, like when you look at a diamond, there's this perspective or that aspect. It's like sometimes there's an aspect of something that might come back. So you work with it. But the more you learn how to do your parts work and this trigger work, everything changes in your life. I 100% will guarantee it. I've said this for years and years and years. There's not anyone that has worked with me that will say that it doesn't work. It works. And it's fast. That's the other thing. I don't want to work on my stuff for 10 years. That's not necessary anymore. There's really good tools out there now. So I'm climbing off of my soapbox.
I'm really fascinated. And I have to go back. Well, I have to go forward in the book because I'm on 89 and read the part about the energetic parts work script, because that sounds really cool. And I love working with sensation in the body, you know, not just seeking to find emotion, but noticing the sensation. It seems to give us so much more information or more unknown information.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, again, to me and everything I've learned, quantum physics has proven we're energy beings. We are energetic beings and we have it flipped around. We are spiritual beings. Think about what that means. We're spiritual beings first, having a human experience. So if that's true, which it is, quantum physics has proven this, you got to think of yourself as a very slow moving river. That's how I see humans. Like, we are just a stream of energy. So think about a river that I am, and you are a river, and all the things, everyone else, we have our own river. When a negative thought or a less than thought or a I don't matter thought or whatever kind of thought that's not a positive thought comes into our awareness, it's like a log that is coming down through the river, right? My slow moving river now has a log. What am I going to do with that log? am I going to go, oh, that doesn't feel good. I don't want to feel that. That feels bad. The reason that these emotions stay with us is because we make up a story around that log, that I don't matter, that Laura said this to me. And then I make up this big story and that feeling stays with me. But if I'm able to process and metabolize that emotion, that belief, that log, it falls apart and it keeps moving down the river. What so many of us, because we don't know how to do it, it's not that we're bad or wrong, we just don't know how to do it. That log, we go, ooh, that's bad. And it gets stuck in the river. And then another thought comes, and then that gets stuck, and then another. Before we know it, we've got a whole beaver dam in the middle of the river. And then we don't flow. We're not, people talk about being in the flow state. The flow state is when that river is just gently moving through us, right? So we've got to learn what to do when we have off days. How do we stay grounded? And like you said, it's an energy that we're working with in the body. A part is an energy. What is a thought? What is an emotion? Can you hold happiness in your hand? No, it's an energy. So what we want to do is learn how to work with the energy of, I don't matter. I'm not, we all have this. We all have these, I should say. I don't matter. I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable. I hate myself. We all have them. Some have more than others, or it's more intense, but we want to learn how to work with those. We do that by feeling into it and getting curious. What is that? Where's that part coming from? How old does it think I am? Most of those parts were created from 0 to 6. So mm-hmm. We work with them. We re-educate them. We update them. There's so many beautiful things we do with these parts, and then they integrate into the whole self. And then there are no logs in the river. And then you can live as a balanced, peaceful human with joy. Like, it's really possible. That was not me in earlier in life. And now I'm like, I live like that now. So I speak from experience. It's definitely possible. And all the people I've worked with, like, that's what we worked on. So I've seen it happen with thousands of people. It's absolutely possible when you have the right tools.
Wow. I'm really happy that you created this tool and that you have this whole program. I'll just hold it up one more time. Let's ding. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, my friend.
Michelle, where can everyone find all these amazing things that you're doing?
Yeah, I would say go to theadultshare.com. And I actually did a masterclass for the book that I did like as a pre-sale, and people absolutely loved it. So I've just left it up there as a free class. It's a free masterclass. So they can get that at theadultshare.com/book. And if you buy the book, again, a lot of people like it on Audible. I'm actually speaking. I'm the one that's reading the book. And you have to put the receipt in, and then you have the whole, it's a 2-hour masterclass, but it really does a really deep dive into the book, and people were over the moon about it. So I'm going to leave that up there for at least the next couple of months. So go and check that out for free. theadultshare.com/book. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I will link to that in the show notes, and they can find your podcast and
it's all
your
there.
Certification and all that stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all
wonderful.
There. Yeah.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being my guest today. It was really fun talking to you and also inspiring. So I really appreciate you taking the time to be here.
Thank you. I look forward to you being on my show. Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.